Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program today. I'm Nadia Shamsuddin, your host. And today I'm going to be bringing you some news items from around the world and opening the phones for you. So I encourage you to call if you have something on your mind you want to talk about, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Well, this morning the BBC News is reporting that a top Al-Qaeda commander has been killed. A senior Al-Qaeda leader in Afghanistan, Abu Layth al-Libi, has been killed, says Western counterterrorism officials. News of his death emerged on a website used by Islamic groups. Elhas.org said he has fallen like a martyr. Pakistan says it cannot confirm reports that Libby was killed by a U.S. missile strike in Pakistan on Tuesday. Libby is believed to have been behind an attack at an Afghan airbase last year while U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney was visiting there. Most analysts say Libby's death would be a blow to al-Qaeda, both symbolically as well as operationally. But the BBC security correspondent Frank Gardner says Al-Qaeda has proved itself to be resilient to individual losses and setbacks, and no one is predicting an immediate decline in attacks in the region. And U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said he did not, quote, have anything definitive to say about the news. Well, Libby has been operating as an Al-Qaeda spokesman, and he has appeared in a number of those Al-Qaeda videos that keep surfacing. In November, he appeared alongside the second-in-command, Ayman al-Zawahiri. He has acted as a spokesman for the group, announcing in 2002 that Osama bin Laden and Taliban leader Mullah Omar had survived the U.S. invasion in Afghanistan. But it is known that Libby was under U.S. intelligence surveillance, and most details about him are classified. This individual is in the top half dozen figures in Al-Qaeda, who has a long record of military activity on behalf of Al-Qaeda. He is thought to be one of Al-Qaeda's most senior field commanders in Afghanistan, and to have directed a number of recent suicide bomb attacks in the east of the country. The U.S. has linked him to the bombing at the U.S. base at Bagram in Afghanistan in February of last year that killed 23 people. Reports say Libby was also active across the border in the northern region of Pakistan. Unnamed Pakistani intelligence officials say he was killed in a missile attack on Tuesday, but Pakistani's main military spokesman said it was not possible to confirm his death. We cannot negate or confirm because the moment it happened, they removed the bodies and immediately buried them. And one note I'll add on that according to Islamic law, if someone dies, they must be buried before sunset. So how would anyone confirm that he got killed? That's the question. And he did not say who buried the bodies. Someone once told Reuters the missile appeared to have been fired by a drone, and residents reported having seen a drone aircraft in the region before the attack. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this story. And when we come back from the break, we'll be getting into some more international news as well as some an interesting article posted today on WorldNet Daily by Jerome Corsi. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm going to say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Welcome back to the program. This Friday, I'm bringing you some news briefs from around the world. And an incident occurred yesterday in Mauritania, which is a small country on the west coast of Africa. Gunmen opened fire in front of the Israeli embassy. They're still at large, and there have been no one apprehended in the shooting. The Israeli ambassador said that the one man that was wounded was from Mauritania and that no embassy staff had been hurt. Witnesses say the six attackers had traded fire with embassy guards just before shouting, quote, "God is great," as they fled. Now, they've had a lot of activity going on and shootings. They had some four French tourists that were killed in December and suspected to be Islamic militants. And at least nine people were arrested in connection with that attack, which was about 250 miles north of the capital. And there's an interesting story coming out of Afghanistan. I'm sure you're aware of certain countries being, like living in a police state, like in Saudi Arabia, where they've arrested two bloggers. I think about 2 weeks ago mentioned that. There was a blogger that was arrested for, and he used his real name. Usually they don't use their real name, but he did. And he was openly critical of the Saudi government and was arrested. Oh, this is a similar situation in Afghanistan that is being reported by the UK newspaper, The Independent. And a young man has been sentenced to death after he dared to read about women's rights. The fate of this young man has led to domestic and international protests and deepening concern about erosion of civil liberties in Afghanistan. I didn't know they had any. Anyway, he was accused of blasphemy after he downloaded a report from a Farsi website which stated that women have been denigrated in these modern cultures of Islam and their interpretation of it. Muslim fundamentalists who claim the Quran justifies the oppression of women have misrepresented the views of the Prophet Muhammad, he says. The young man's only 23 years old, and he distributed the tract to fellow students and teachers at a university because he wanted to provoke a debate on the issue. But a complaint was made against him, and he was arrested. I guess they encourage people to turn in their fellow students and citizens. And he's been tried by religious judges without what his friends and family says being allowed any kind of legal representation, and he has been sentenced to death. I mean, this is so absurd, but it's an example of what can happen when you have the thought police running around. The independent newspaper is launching a campaign to secure justice for the young man. The UN human rights groups, journalists, organizations, and Western diplomats have urged Mr. Karzai's government to intervene and free him. But the Afghan Senate passed a motion yesterday confirming the death sentence. This is just one in many cases that we're going to be hearing about. And actually, when Bush made his Middle East trip, he was encouraged by Amnesty International to use his influence to call for the release of these bloggers in Saudi Arabia. And I doubt he'll say anything in any of this. I don't know if any of the rhetoric or the outcry from the West is going to have any impact on this, because it seems like wherever we go, wherever we have troops, the harder we push to, quote, bring democracy or reform, the more resolve that these people have in not changing. And it's really sad because so many of these countries, especially where there is Sharia law, which is the Islamic legal framework, has intense pressure on people not to speak out in criticism against the government, and repression of women, even to the point of in Afghanistan, they have police that walk up and down the sidewalk making sure that every hair on a woman's head is covered, and if it isn't, then she is subject to a severe beating. So it's a very depressing place to live, needless to say, and our presence there in Afghanistan certainly hasn't made any difference. And that story that I mentioned to you a couple of days ago about the American woman who has been taken hostage, she was grabbed with her driver, a humanitarian relief worker in Afghanistan. No one yet has stepped up to claim responsibility or make any public demands yet. So I'll bring you the news on that when it surfaces. Well, I'd love to hear from you guys today. If you've got anything you'd like to talk about, comment on the news or anything else, 800-313-9443. I'd be happy to take your call. There's a news piece that came up about Ariel Sharon's son, who's in trouble. And Ariel Sharon, as you know, at the time that he fell into a coma, was the Israeli prime minister. And it's being reported that a justice ministry spokesman said judges rejected Omri Sharon's appeal against a sentence for fraudulently raising campaign funds for his father. Israeli media said that it meant he would begin his seven-month term on February 27th. The 43-year-old pleaded guilty and resigned from parliament in 2006 after his father, Ariel Sharon, was forced from office by a massive stroke that plunged him into a coma. He appealed his sentence, saying the loss of his parliamentary seat was punishment enough. The scandal over the funding of the former general's campaign for leadership of the right-wing Likud party in 1999 cast a shadow over the latter part of Sharon's five-year premiership. Well, I don't know. I think Sharon kind of did all that on his own. He didn't need any help from his son. He's a desperately wicked man who ordered the massacre in South Lebanon years ago of Palestinians. He has blood on his hands, and it was indicated by Barry Shamish, an Israeli journalist who speaks out about Israeli corruption, that someone within the government in Israel had actually made the attempt on Sharon's life. And it wasn't a success, and he ended up in a coma. But Omri Sharon and his younger brother Gilad were granted an audience with George W. Bush during the U.S. president's visit in Jerusalem earlier this month, a meeting aides described as a mark of respect to their ailing father, who was long a Bush ally. And they've now released a report about the performance of Israel in the war in South Lebanon in 2006, calling it military campaign deeply flawed. The human rights organization Amnesty International has condemned as deeply flawed an Israeli report on Israel's conduct in the war in Lebanon in 2006. Amnesty International criticized the inquiry by not addressing the issues of alleged war crimes by Israeli troops, such as, quote, the indiscriminate killings of civilians. The government-appointed Winograd panel found that Israel went into the conflict without any clear strategy. As a result, it was dragged into an unwinnable war with Hezbollah fighters. Amnesty says the commission, which was published on Wednesday, should have examined government policies and military strategies, which did not discriminate between Hezbollah combatants and Lebanese civilians. It was another missed opportunity to address the policies and decisions behind the grave violations of international humanitarian law. Well, gee, that's something that the Israelis have a fairly wide practice in, including war crimes committed by Israeli forces, said Amnesty International's Middle East and North African program director. The indiscriminate killings of many Lebanese civilians not involved in the hostilities and the deliberate and wanton destruction of civilian properties and infrastructure on a massive scale were given no more than token consideration by the commission. Israel has denied committing war crimes, saying it tried to avoid, I like that, it tried to avoid civilian casualties, but its foe Hezbollah used civilian areas to launch its indiscriminate attacks against Israeli civilians. Well, the reason Hezbollah exists is because of Israel's occupation in the south of Lebanon for years. And if you were listening a few days ago, I talked about that. I dedicated a whole program to Lebanon. And I talked about the history of Hezbollah and the resistance that eventually ensued that kicked out the Israeli occupation in the south. But in the meantime, it strengthened Hezbollah. And in fact, after the invasion of Israel into Lebanon in 06, Hezbollah emerged as the victor in that, and they gained a tremendous amount of popularity. And Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, experienced a sharp drop in popularity back at home. Well, Amnesty International is calling on Israel to set up an independent inquiry into its soldiers' actions and a ban on cluster bombs, as well as helping the cleanup operation by providing data about where they were fired. And for some of you that may not be aware of what a cluster bomb is, it's very similar to a landmine. It detonates in the same manner, and they planted thousands of them across the region in South Lebanon. The 629-page Israeli report devotes 6 pages to cluster bombs, most of which were dropped in the final days of the hostilities and have long since a threat to civilians and mine clearers in Lebanon. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
And welcome back to the program. It's Friday, and I'm taking your calls today. You can share whatever's on your heart, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And just before the break, we were talking about Israel's unpopular war in Lebanon in 2006, and Olmert's popularity plummeted in the ensuing months after that. Israel is up for having elections next year, and I suspect that the Likud will come back in power. They are the right-wing opposition, and I suspect that Netanyahu will rear his ugly head once again. And, you know, it seems like in Israel they just have a small circle of guys that kind of just take turns. You know, there are over 15 political parties in the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And it's very confusing to keep up with Israeli politics. And they're always having to create some sort of coalition government because it's always about to fall apart. There's so much factionalism there. And the approval ratings wax and wane constantly. There is such a wide variety of political perspectives in the country, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of consensus which would provide for stability in the government. So that report is coming out, and they're talking more and more about the there are going to be more war crimes discussed in this, because it was really Israel's response to anything is always disproportionate. During the Intifada, when the Palestinian uprising occurred in 1987 and lasted for a few years, if a Palestinian kid threw a stone, an Israeli responded with live ammunition. And, you know, it always strikes me as rather odd how these people can claim to have endured something called the Holocaust and yet turn around and exact some of the same atrocities or the same severity of oppression on another people, all the while still attempting to and gaining a lot of sympathy. And it sure is a moneymaker. Every year about this time, you'll start seeing stories about the Holocaust, and it generates a tremendous amount of money. But, you know, they've cornered the market on what's called, quote, the Holocaust, even though there have been a number of Holocausts throughout human history, one being the Armenian people, who now are completely displaced, have no more country, it's no longer Armenia. They were predominantly Christian, and they were buried alive. They were forced into trenches and bulldozed dirt right on top of them and buried alive. But, of course, you don't hear about that. The Christian Church in America is happy to promulgate all the stories about the Holocaust, but when it comes to discussing Christians who have died for their faith, Christians around the world who have been persecuted for one reason or another, that's a different story. They tend to turn a deaf ear. So that's something I've just never understood. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in Israel in the next year. Everything that has been going on with Olmert in the discussion for a two-state solution and resolutions to how to handle 1.5 million people in Gaza, it's proving to be quite a challenge for the Israeli leadership. So anything that Olmert might make, quote, progress in, whoever comes into office next is going to effectively undo that. So I suspect that if the Likud gets in there, they'll go back to increasing settlements and exacting more harsh penalties on the Palestinian population in the West Bank and Gaza. Well, there was an interesting piece this morning on WorldNet Daily by Jerome Corsi. You know, he was my guest a couple of days ago. He's the world's leading authority on the North American Union. And he writes, "The United States' oil dependence on Canada, already America's largest supplier, is about to grow under a plan to build a new pipeline to transport oil from the tar sands of Alberta into the central part of the nation. TransCanada Corporation, a key company traded on the New York Stock Exchange, has announced the TransCanada Keystone Pipeline has been given a final environmental impact statement approval from the U.S. Department of State because of the limited adverse environmental impacts that are expected." Wonder what that could be. Think it could be another oil spill? That was pretty damaging. Anyway, the approval is the result of nearly 2 years of analysis of the project proposal by more than a dozen U.S. federal agencies and other interested stakeholders. Now that the EIS is finished, TransCanada expects to receive authorization soon to begin the construction and operation of the pipeline at the U.S.-Canada border crossing. The pipeline, planned for 2,148 miles, will bring oil from Hardisty, Alberta, Canada, to U.S. markets in Illinois and the West, in the Midwest, with an extension down to Cushing, Oklahoma. And we'll get back to that when we come back from our break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Thanks for tuning in. We're back from our break. And before our break, I was sharing with you a piece by Jerome Corsi on WorldNet Daily about the pipeline going into the U.S. from Canada that has already received its environmental impact approval. Now that the EIS is finished, the Trans-Canada expects to receive authorization soon to begin the construction and operation of the pipeline at the U.S.-Canada border crossing. Just last week, ConocoPhillips and TransCanada announced ConocoPhillips had acquired a 50% ownership interest in the Keystone Pipeline. TransCanada president says they plan to begin construction on the pipeline in the second quarter of 2008, with an in-service date set for the fourth quarter of 2009. In 2004, Canada replaced Saudi Arabia as the leading supplier of crude oil to the United States. According to the Energy Information Administration, the leading suppliers of U.S. oil in November 07 were Canada, with 2.4 million barrels per day, Saudi Arabia, with 1.6 million barrels per day, Mexico, at 1.5 million barrels per day, Venezuela at 1.3 million barrels a day, and Nigeria at 1.3. So, you know, we never did get most of our oil from the Middle East. That's been a lie that we were fed a long time ago. And so now it's shifting. Now they say that we're getting most of it from Canada. And that dovetails into everything that we talked about the other day with Jerome Corsi when he was on the show about the North American Union. So all of this is moving along rather quickly, and it's in concert with all of their plans. He concludes the article by saying, according to Canada's Globe and Mail, by 2015 and the completion of the project, Canada oil exports to the U.S. are expected to increase to 3 million barrels a day. Plans are also underway to extend Canadian pipelines down to the Texas Gulf Coast, where the Texas refineries used to process the heavy and sour oil processed from Mexico and Venezuela are well suited to process the sticky crude produced from Alberta's oil sands. So from time to time, I'll bring you updates from Jerome, as well as other items that are posted about our marching toward the consummation of the North American Union. Well, I wanted to bring you a brief word from one of our sponsors. RBN has a new sponsor, Freeze Dry Guy. Freeze dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. So why store emergency food? Well, keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or your car. With Freeze Dry Guy, not you, you try and say that, Freeze Dry Guy, try and say it 10 times, you'll get tongue-tied too. With Freeze Dry Guy, freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. There has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy of long-storing foods and preparedness supplies. Take the necessary step to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. And Freeze Dry Guy will pay the freight within the lower 48 states. And when ordering, be sure to mention that you heard about them on RBN. We also have a caller that has asked for us to announce a Ron Paul meetup on Monday, February 4th, in Parsons, Tennessee, at Granny's Kitchen Restaurant. And if you're interested in that, you should contact Cheyenne at 731-967-2933. And I also encourage everyone to visit the website meetup.com. It's an interesting website that links people together with similar interests, and you can go on there and search for a Ron Paul group in your area, and I suggest you do that. Hook up with some people with like-minded ideas about where this country is going and get involved. And here's something that came out that was rather interesting in technology news. Some of you may have been hearing about this, but it was news to me, kind of scary. As the U.S. Federal Communications Commission auctions off the coveted 700 megahertz, quote, C block, which is a prime portion of the American airwaves, the bidding has topped at $4.6 billion. Now, they're saying that's a very key number because the $4.6 billion is actually the reserve price for the C block. And now that the FCC has at least that much money in hand, we can be sure that this slice of wireless spectrum will include an open access requirement, a much-discussed clause that says the winning bidder must allow access to any device and any application. Now, if you've been listening to not just RBN, but in the discussions in the mainstream media about the FISA bill, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, it's actually an amendment. And within that, one of the most controversial aspects of that legislation is that Bush and his cronies want to include language which would give immunity to U.S. telecommunications companies so they wouldn't be sued. So say, for instance, you had Verizon or AT&T as your cell service, and they provided the government with your information unbeknownst to you, and then it was used against you for whatever reason. You can't sue them. And this is where a lot of members of Congress have been filibustering the bill, because they realize that if they give immunity to the U.S. telecom companies, it's going to open the floodgates for a lot of activity that is something that U.S. citizens are not going to be happy with. And it's actually a frightening perspective on what's going on. But getting back to this about the reserve price for the C block, $4.6 billion, and the bidding hasn't stopped. But what we don't know is which bidder has triggered the open access clause. This is a secret auction, but many people are guessing that the high bidder is probably Google. And as you may know, Google is the only internet company that has been given an exclusion in an agreement in the government some time back, that they're totally excluded from compliance in a lot of areas with providing information. And I think that simply means that they've already made a deal with the government. Google has unlimited storage of every single Google search that's done, is recorded, and within that is embedded a code that it can be traced back to everyone's individual computer. So every Google search is saved, and if you have Gmail, all the emails that are stored on their server are made available to whomever has access to that in Google and the government. So if you have a Gmail account, just remember that. But Google was one of the largest and loudest voices calling for this open access clause. And at one point, Google, being the largest search engine, said it was prepared to lay down the full $4.6 billion. Bidding past the reserve price in a round of 17 episodes of auctioning, and with the FCC, and when the C block hit the $4.7 billion, there were no bids during the previous three rounds as the price stagnated at around $4.3 billion. Now, chances are Google is battling Verizon for the rights to the 700 megahertz C block, but there are also people in the industry that are speculating that maybe AT&T will pay just as much, and that they'll get into the game. But when it comes to the 700 megahertz band, AT&T has been a little more quiet than has been Verizon Wireless over the past several months. But just like Verizon, it recently made a point of saying how much it loves open access. First, it threw a U.S. appeals court at the FCC, trying to get the open access requirement removed. Then it said its current network would be open by the end of the year. So if AT&T or Verizon wins the C block, you know what? One can only wonder how open the airwaves will truly be. And you know what's interesting? Scientists have proven that anything that has been broadcast into the atmosphere is still there. And there have been reports of astronauts who have come back from outer space, and they've been debriefed, and they've been told, don't talk about it, don't talk about what you heard out there. But there have been occasions where there have been the experience of these astronauts actually hearing some of the broadcasts, some old radio broadcasts. So it's actually phenomenal to even realize that when something is broadcast over the air, or even communicated in some other manner, not just radio, but over the airwaves, say via telephone, that conversation is out there. It's a physical, literal thing that is going on ad infinitum into eternity in outer space. It's absolutely fascinating. Well, we have a caller this morning. It's Davey from Texas. Good morning, Davey. You're on the line.
Good morning, Nadia. Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of different things, but earlier you were talking about, you used the word war. I think you were talking a little bit about the cluster bombs in Lebanon.
Yes.
And the intractable situation the Israelis found themselves in with the so-called Hezbollah.
Yes.
Well, earlier than that, you talked about the situation in Afghanistan. And, you know, you've talked before about the concept of a just war.
Well, there have been wars in history that were seemingly more justified than others, yes.
Well, I mean, but, you know, civilization, Western civilization, where do they get their, what are their founding documents, basically?
Now, are you referring to a specific war?
Well, you know,
I'll just say this, Davey. The basis of any war is, and I'll tell you who explained it the best, was Malthus, who was an economist. He was a British economist. And a lot of his theories, when they came out, were very controversial. But he did explain a lot of things. And he said one thing, which is true, that all conflict arises out of the perception or reality of the limit of resources. So whether it's land or gold or control over people, wars are always fought over the perception that there's the possibility of domination over resources. That's just a basic premise.
Yeah, I'm willing to accept that as a premise to start with, but you know, if we look over there at Deuteronomy 28, right, and it tells about the blessings and the curses, well, what economic resources was America short of in the 20th century, say, before World War II?
Well, what war are you specific? Because we've been through several wars. We had the Revolutionary War, and then they had the War of 1812.
Yeah, and then the so-called Civil War. But what I'm trying to get to is the issue of a just war. And as you say, it's fundamentally an economic reality that starts the war. Well, if the people themselves were abiding by the Ten Commandments and worshiping the God of Truth, they couldn't be hornswoggled into a war, allegedly a war, you know, which they hadn't been attacked, obviously, but then you have 935 lies that lead up to the so-called war. And the first victim of that war is a country that's a PQLI number before the war was 14. And in the history of warfare in the West, the Christian West, it's unjustified for a big, huge bully nation to go over and take a little bitty, you know, chihuahua dog of a nation with a PQLI of 14 and say they're declaring war on them. It's not really a war. It's something else. It's, you know, when the Israelis go into Lebanon, it's not, the Lebanese didn't say, hey, we want to fight you. You know, they didn't vote on it first and say, well, you know, let's invade the Jewish state. Actually, there's a provocation there, and usually it's a false flag event that generates it, and then next thing you know, it's just utter annihilation or subjugation of the people like the Palestinians.
Well, and you know, speaking of Hezbollah and what precipitated the war in 06, you're right, it was not a consensus of the government. It was one small group called Hezbollah that had received a tremendous amount of support in the country because they had kicked out Israel from Israel's illegal occupation of South Lebanon, as it had done so for so many years. And so they rose to a certain level of popularity among the Lebanese people as being seen as the great liberators. Now, when this war started, when they provoked them by taking two Israeli soldiers and demanding the return of of those that were in prison in the West Bank. That's when Israel responded. But I'll tell you, a lot of Lebanese, including a lot of Shiite Muslims, have been very angry about that. That the destruction that ensued in that year, in that summer, in just a few weeks, destroyed a lot of the infrastructure that had they had spent billions of dollars on, borrowed money from the UN and other agencies to rebuild Lebanon after that 14-year civil war. And it threw the country back so many years in terms of development. That was not a consensus. That was not something they voted on and they wanted. And now many of the Lebanese are quite angry with Hezbollah. They don't agree with them. But, you know, it's very difficult when you have a small rogue militia or militant group within a country that you can't control. And the hardest thing right now that's going on in Lebanon is that in the last few years, Hezbollah gained seats in parliament. So they've gained a measure of legitimacy in the government. And this has been something that has been very, very difficult to fight. It's hard to unseat them. But Davey, I wish you'd stay with us. We're going to go to a break and we'll come back for our final segment. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
And welcome back for our last segment of Escape from Freedom. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin. And Davey, are you still with us on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
I had one thing I wanted to comment about the point you were making about just wars. You know, we were told that was the whole reason that we bought this whole idea of the war, at least most Americans did, because we believed it was, quote, just. And I don't think that Americans would have been willing to support it had they not believed the propaganda and the lies that were coming out of the White House. Now, having said that, you know, I recently posted an article on the RBN website, and I use this analogy of my dog being sick and taking it to the vet, and she says, here's a pill, get your dog to take this by wrapping it in a small piece of soft bread, and that way the dog will swallow the pill. Well, that's how we were bought this lie with the war. It was all wrapped up in something we could swallow. And but then after a while, we started hearing the truth come out, and I don't know what it's going to take to unravel all of the propaganda that people are still wrapped up in about this war, but I can tell you I'm really going to take issue next week about the problem with the homeless veterans and this thing with this idiot on Fox News who's been really hateful, the so-called Bill O'Reilly show, and he's been really hateful about the issue about the homeless vets. And because that's only going to get worse, Davey, when these guys come back, we're going to have a much higher incidence of that down the line. Because
the absolutely most disgusting reality today is these veterans that are committing suicide, especially
yes.
the females. The very idea that a nation would send girls to fight a war is anti-Christian in its inception. But, you know, it's interesting that in Afghanistan, when the Taliban was there, they had eradicated opium production, had they not?
Well, there were reports, there were conflicting reports about that.
So, but, you know.
Heard two things. Because that's a pretty big, that's a substantial cash cow for that region.
Right.
Because see, they don't have anything else. I mean, Afghanistan, they don't have water, they don't have any natural resources. So that was pretty much it.
Well, they still have a very low, you know, average income per resident, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's probably one of the lowest in the world, yes.
So there's no justification for America to go over there and invade their country and start bombing innocent people at wedding parties, is there?
Well, no, and if you will examine where this major internation pipeline is, we have troops stationed all along the region where this pipeline runs, and it's Afghanistan.
Say, have you ever heard of Kay Pollard Griggs?
No, I have not.
Well, she was married to a man that used to be pretty high up in NATO. You can Google her name. There's videos on the like YouTube or whatever. Kay Pollard Griggs. And she tells quite a bit about these trained assassins that they manufacture. But, you know, the real issue is who's controlling the money supply. And I was going to ask you if you could also, you know, if you take children to a zoo and you know the difference between an elephant and a giraffe, you don't call an elephant a giraffe on purpose, do you?
Well, you're right, Davey. We need to call a spade a spade, and we have
because
to do more.
Because I personally have not been able to find out when exactly all 12 tribes of the children of Israel turned into being Jewish.
Well, you're opening an excellent point, and I'm going to have to cut you off right there.
Have a good weekend, Nadia.
But you too, Davey. I appreciate your call. And we'll be back next week. And remember that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. God bless.
To everything, turn. There is a season.
With recent international flight from